welcome one and all once again to a very special episode of Nerds on the Rocks. I am joined this week by Dan.
Hello.
And a very special guest, Chris.
Hello.
From the great state of Ireland. So this week, after our brief hiatus, very often hiatus, this past weekend was the 87th Oscars, the Academy Awards, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to kind of take a look at what we could do to craft a respectable video game awards show. We have the Emmys for television and film, the Golden Globes is for television and film, the Tonys are for Broadway, we have the Emmys, we have the Grammys for music, and of course the Oscars for movies. But to date, there isn't that one kind of standout-ish award show for video games, and I thought it would be a great idea to kind of get these popular award shows, and even the video game award shows we have now, and to see what works and doesn't work, and what we would use to kind of ideally craft our idea of a video game show. But before we get there, Sam has finally joined us.
Hey!
We are talking about what we would use for a video game award show. What would be our ideal video game award show?
Lots of boobs, probably.
Lots of boobs?
Yep.
I think that boobs
talking to each other. Just like
I honestly think that would be the opposite of what we need right now.
Even edgier.
We spent the past decade fighting against booth babes in E3. I honestly don't think we need that in our award show.
It's gone too far. We got to push it back in the other direction.
I am good without doing a pushback.
I
do think that brings up a good point. Somewhat, it's presentation. I think beyond any other field, I think video games has always kind of thrived on presentation, and I thought that was one of the few things that the Video Game Awards had gotten right near the end, before it kind of lost all of its money, was like how they kind of presented the stage as this huge-driven thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually something that the Oscars started to do. I saw more of this. I've actually seen a lot of things that kind of upped the production scale. The Oscars had like that moving screen that had a different stuff come up during the show, especially during the opening song number. But to kind of borrow from another industry recently, I also checked out the NBA All-Star game, and I love that they did the court on that, where it was kind of like these 3D images projected on the floor, and I thought that was amazing.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, basketball interest has gotten really cool in the past few years.
Yeah, and I think that it was something that the VGAs was actually pushing towards near the end, where they kind of had those 3D hologram images on the stage. The biggest problem with that is it's something that's really cool if you're watching at home. It's not really something you see if you're at the show. And I think that might be a disconnect for that audience who are there.
But it's all them, basically, at the Academy Awards and stuff. It's all the nominees and stuff, so it's not like the stake care, I guess, too much.
Well, I mean, you kind of want that reaction. I mean, granted, the Academy Awards are kind of really stiff, and a lot of people will just kind of care about anything anyhow.
Yeah.
But, it is kind of nice to have reactions to stuff, especially stuff that looks really cool. And I think that we have enough unique gaming elements now to kind of make it something that would work. And I think, kind of counteract my point, I also think you can go a bit too extreme with that. I think the MTV Movie Awards are really gaudy with all like the neon lights and everything. It's just like way too busy.
I agree with that, actually.
Yeah. I know not everybody watches MTV Movie Awards.
I was about to say, the last time I watched the MTV Movie Awards, well, the only thing I know about it are those sketches that they put on. So, like, there was a hidden extra in the Lord of the Rings DVDs that I discovered through the menus. This is like 10 years ago, I guess, back when Lord of the Rings DVDs were a thing that you could say in a normal conversation. And like down at the bottom of the menu section, there was this, like you could scroll down to one of the icons and click on it, and it was a Jack Black MTV sketch, and it was actually kind of funny, where he gets a cock ring with the ring from Lord of the Rings. That was on the Lord of the Rings DVDs.
That sounds like the MTV Movie Awards.
Yep.
I think the last time I've seen it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was a Christian Bale handing a torch to Henry Cavill the year before Man of Steel was coming out, and The Dark Knight Rises had won an award or something like that. I don't really make a habit of watching it just because I'm not the audience for it. It's like I don't watch Nick's Choice Award. I'm not the audience for that.
Right.
This is an award show for tweens or teenagers or whatever. It's not for people who... And kind of going back to the VGAs were an award show for teenage boys as well. And I think that's something
Boobs, yes.
And kind of picking on the VGAs and kind of the standpoint. No horrible sketches. I remember a few years ago when the VGAs did like the live-action Fruit Ninja game.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, they I don't remember that at all.
They had, I think it was every month, backstage with like a sword, and they were tossing fruit at her.
Oh, cool. Maybe.
Yeah. The problem is that swords
that's how I imagine her on the internet always.
I would say swords don't cut through fruits as easily in real life as they do in a video game.
Oh, wait, I think I maybe heard about that now.
So it was just a really awkward skit.
Yeah, that sounds like a good way to lose a finger.
Yeah, or a foot. That too.
It just wasn't enjoyable, and I don't mean like do away with opening skits. Like I think opening skits are usually the best part of an award show to me. Like the parts where they do the opening monologue or song and dance, or like sometimes they'll have like various. I know the Emmys. I think it's the Emmys that does this. They kind of have like the kind of parody or satire like very popular shows at the time. And I think that's kind of cool. It's kind of a way to catch you up on what's happened in the past year while still introducing the show. I think that's fine. But I don't necessarily want, like, these really goofy backstage skits. Especially when it comes to...
I don't know. I like Seth MacFarlane's song.
What song?
Didn't he do a couple of them? I remember one that was to the point of boobs still, called We've Seen Your Boobs, and then pointed out all the actresses in the audience and when they've seen their boobs. And I thought that was pretty funny.
You just want boobs, don't you?
You know, they were on the mind, and then I was thinking about it, and then I thought, Seth MacFarlane's a funny guy, even if he makes terrible shows now. And then I remember he hosted the Oscars, right?
Yeah.
Or was that a different award show? I was making sure it was the Oscars. All right.
Yeah, it was last year, I think. No, last year was Ellen. So it might have been
That was an example of a funny sketch. And now I'll stop talking about boobs.
Okay. But yeah, I think presentation is something that, again, it's an industry that's redesigned around presentation above all else. It's weird that the award shows don't really match that aesthetic a lot of the times. And again, go on.
Well, I guess I'd say like to get a good video game award show, everybody wants to do like the DICE Awards, right? That's the Developer Awards, basically.
Yeah,
those aren't fun to watch. Like, yeah, I barely find myself watching award shows. Like, I don't even really watch the Oscars, to be honest. I've read who the winners were. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And, oh, Birdman kind of sucked, I thought, but everybody else liked But, you know, like, it's a lot more digestible in a text format, so you have to do something more than, here's developers giving themselves awards for things. Yay!
And to be fair, a lot of people do have that criticism of the Oscars. Myself, like, I only watched it in bits and pieces this year. I mean, part of it was because other things was on while it was on, like The Walking Dead. But, yeah, I mean, at the same time, the Oscars did average about 37 million people, so it's not like people don't watch it. It's just that it's also down, I think, 16% over last year, and it's the Illustrated Oscar since 2008. So there is kind of, I think that's to do with the awards show, though, and more to do with the fact that people don't know the movies that were being nominated.
Do people usually, I feel like for the past couple of years, the Oscar films haven't exactly been big movies. Like, I miss the days of Gladiator winning Best Picture, or Silence of the Lambs, or stuff like that, where the movies are good to a wide audience and to an artistic audience.
I think last year there were more movies that were nominated that people had seen or heard of. And, you know, and again, it depends. I just feel like a lot of the films last year were just a bit more noticeable. You know, American Hustle, Captain Phillips, I think Gravity was a big one. The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, never mind. Last year was all right. I guess I was thinking 2 years ago.
Yeah, those were bigger films. And I think what's going to happen next year, and I don't necessarily, you know, I'm not going to say the fix is in, I think we'll see a major blockbuster film be nominated next year just to kind of get, I don't think it has a chance
get
of winning.
People watching again.
Yeah, but I do think they'll nominate it so that it's like, oh, maybe they'll nominate The Avengers. Maybe it might win, even though it doesn't really have a chance.
It's not gonna be The Avengers, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I was, you know, I remember the opening of Neil Patrick Harrison monologue where he's like the 8 or 9 nominees for Best Picture all gross like $600 million. I'm like, wait, is he wrong? Did he miss a zero or something? Because I'm like, Avengers. I mean, not Avengers. Captain America did more than that on its own. Guardians of the Galaxy did more. And I'm like, oh yeah, these are the films nobody watches. Because of that $600 million, I think $300 million of it was American Sniper. Nah, I'm not even joking.
Yeah, no, it's just funny. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what the other ones were. Theory of Everything was... I didn't watch that. I didn't see any of them in theaters. One.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I saw a single one in theaters. Maybe that's part of the problem. They all sort of released in the same, like, at the same... Well, some of them, like Birdman, I couldn't even watch here.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing with Oscar nominees. But yeah, I mean, kind of going back to video games, I feel like the VGAs went the other way too often than not, which is was just like, oh, we're just going to pick the most popular games. We're going to pick Call of Duty. We're going to pick Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
we're
gonna,
like, there were years when Madden was nominated. And I don't know what year Madden would ever be considered the best game.
A year where no other games exist.
And what year, like, I actually believe Madden was like the first one of the games.
I was about to say, last year's Madden was pretty good. There weren't too many other great video games that came out last year. So, I mean...
What was last year's win? It was, not Dragon Age, Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah, the game was alright.
Well, I think I played
more Madden than I did Shadow of Mordor last year, I'll tell you that.
I do think Ashley was an outlier. There were two consoles trying to get their feet and all this other stuff, so that kind of made sense. But
yeah.
I do think that there should be a difference between
games
that people enjoy or buy in bulk and games that should necessarily be... Like, again, it's that weird thing. Like, you don't want to necessarily have stuff like Gone Home or Brothers beat all your nominees, because you're going to end up in the same situation with the Oscars, where people are like, what?
Yeah, I guess you don't want to put the... But you also, like, if you... I would say, so like the Golden Globes, basically, because those are the ones that are the popular big-name blockbusters get nominated. And you don't really want to necessarily make an award show that's all like, hey, you know this game that everybody played? Wasn't it pretty good? Yeah, I guess. Everybody played it. I don't know. I don't know what you do for a video game award show. Guess what? I didn't solve this problem by the time you gave me the prompt this morning until now.
It's not a problem. It's not necessarily a problem for us to solve, but it is an idea I had, and this is something that I don't necessarily know if it's going to work, but it's something that some award show does. I think they should have a Game of the Year category, but I also think they should have a fan-voted Game of the Year category. This way, you
Dark
can give
Souls
out.
Wins again for the third year in a row.
Well, see, again, Dark Souls, I think Dark Souls wouldn't win because as much as people talk about it online, it doesn't have a huge audience. Yeah, yes, that's going to be the award that's usually going to be handed out to something like Call of Duty or Battlefield or Assassin's Creed or something like that, or Angry Birds or, you know, Candy Crush Saga or something like that. It's going to be the games people know, but you still kind of have that mystery of, like, oh, you have the populist vote in there. People get their voice in. Like, the MTV Movie Awards do well, and a lot of those are calling. The VGAs used to have a vote award, which I always thought was stupid. Most anticipated game? I don't get, like, this is the game that people are looking forward to. That's a stupid award in any field.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, what movie are you looking forward to in 2015? Yeah!
I kind of like that the VGAs have trailer releases. releases, though, like trailer premieres that give you another
Yeah, but that just makes it more a consumer event, just like the most anticipated game award. It's just all of the developers stroking their ego, being like, haha, we're the one that everyone's talking about.
Yeah, you see, like,
at the same time, it's like having any of the music events that are in the Oscars, like, to break up the acts. Like, that would be the kind of the same equivalent of having new footage or new games display or something. It's a total advertising game for them.
I would say it's kind of different because all the songs that they perform in the Oscars are nominated. So it's kind of like how they have, like, the, oh, here's the nominees for Best Picture, and they show you the clips of that. It's like, oh, here's your nominees for Best Song, and how do we make it more entertaining? We have the people perform it.
I guess, yeah.
I honestly, I wouldn't be opposed to that with video games. I think the only problem with that is a lot of times it's not necessarily vocal tracks, so there's not as much entertainment to it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to see an orchestra pop up 5 different times on the video game award stage.
It sometimes it can be special. Like there was the this past year at the Game Awards, they had the Koji Kondo. He had performed with Imagine Dragons,
I don't remember that.
He performed at the end of the show, and he performed the theme.
Oh, I also don't watch TV, so I mean, this is kind of not.
But this wasn't on TV.
I guess that's.
But yeah, I mean, to Sam's point, I actually do kind of like the idea of previewing what's coming while you're celebrating the year that was, but I feel like the ratio has to be much better than with the Game Awards and the VGAs were, because those were more preview shows than award shows.
Mm.
Like, the whole anticipation was built around, oh, you get 12 world exclusive first looks or whatever, and not necessarily, like, we're giving out these amazing awards, and here happens to be a trailer for a next game, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it should be limited to celebrating the year that is coming up. Like, you shouldn't have a video game trailer for 2016 or undated, because then that's not this year.
Oh, but every date in a video game trailer lies anyway.
Oh, I mean, dates can change.
Remember how Halo was supposed to come out last year? Halo 5? Yep, that happened.
It was supposed to come out last year.
Remember how any Halo game was supposed to come out last year, and that sort of didn't happen either?
Well, Master Chief Collection came out.
That was my joke.
I was going to say, work in Halo games is a completely different subject, but it came out. But yeah, I do think that there should be... Again, and kind of going back to the VGAs, I think they tried some of these things with, like, they had the character that, yeah, they would have, like, they would create new little tech segments with them and have it voiced. And that's kind of
How many times
shit.
Did Troy Baker win Character of the Year?
I don't think Troy
I've
Baker...
I've never actually looked.
I don't think, because I don't
he
think...
not tr- around during the...
Yeah, I was about to say, Troy Baker's become a new thing because it used to be Northern North. And even then, it wouldn't go to them. Usually, it would go to with other celebrity had a mainstream game.
I see Troy Baker listed here at least once as best performance by human male. That's a very funny category name.
Okay, this is something else. He won for Joel in The Last of Us. But I do think I this isn't just the VGAs. I think this is something that even we struggle with here on the site. Video game award categories are all over the place.
Yeah, like, I'm not noticing that a little bit.
Like, they'll have, like, okay, Game of the Year is usually simple. That makes sense. But if you have Game of the Year, I think I've always thought it was redundant to kind of have, like, oh, this is the best game on the Wii, this is the best game on the Xbox, this is the best game on the PS3. Like, why?
And then sometimes they're not even, like, awarded for both categories, which is just dumb.
Yeah,
like, every game cannot be one of the best games, though. It's like, all right, why?
And then Studio of the Year just wins the... What, why is a Studio of the Year not a Game of the Year? That's weird.
Yeah,
I get the idea of Studio of the Year, but most studios don't make more than one game of the year anyway.
Yeah, unless they're smaller studios, in which case it's weird. Or bigger, or like super huge. It's either one or the two.
Yeah, it makes sense. I can kind of understand, like, let's say Intelligent Systems, who has, like, a banner year in 2012, mm-hmm. when they did, like, 3 or 4 games. I can kind of understand that. But, yeah, most years, it's one game per company. So it's always been weird that Game of the Year was not won by Studio of the Year. And to that same note, it always drove me nuts when the Game of the Year winner loses in a category beforehand.
Yeah, I always hate that too. You can be the best game ever, but not the best on your console.
Well, what categories do you want then?
Well, that's the thing. I understand Studio of the Year. I kind of get that. I get Game of the Year. I think Character of the Year is very stupid.
Do you know Megan Fox won Best Performance by a Human Female for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, the game?
Wow.
Like I said, it was...
I don't watch these award shows.
It was literally whatever celebrity they can find to get there, they would give an award to. I believe that... what was Chuck's name?
Maybe it was just to get Megan Fox to come to the event.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll go back...
Need an attractive girl to give screen time to.
Yeah, get that estrogen level.
We'll go back to categories real quick. That touches on a point that I always hated about the VGAs, and it's the only award show that I know that does this, is that they get people who aren't related to the industry just because they have a brand to them, and almost every single one of them seems like they'd rather be anywhere else.
Yeah.
I get that video game doesn't have a ton of faces to it, but you're never going to have any faces to it if you don't put those people out there.
I get that, but at the same time, what else do you do? It's not like, we have Mario here hosting the VGAs.
What I was going to say is you put faces out there. It might be awkward the first year or two, but eventually people are going to start to know these faces and start to recognize them. This is how, do you know who the producers and executives, do you know half the people who win the awards at the Oscars?
No, but they have a celebrity that everybody knows presenting it.
Yeah, and that's how you build them up. Like, I do think there are celebrities in video games right now. Mm-hmm. I think part of the problem is a lot of them are older and Japanese.
Probably.
I mean,
but, go on.
No, I was just thinking, one thing I love about Ubisoft is that during E3, they always use Aisha Tyler, and she sells it all so well. They pushed her as their kind of campaign girl for one or two or three years on the E3 stage, and she just kind of every year I look forward to seeing her because she actually enjoys talking about all this, and she's like a record face and voice for me now.
Yeah, I think she does it. I think she would do a great job. I think Zachary Levi would do a decent job. He seems to be big into games. But as far as, I think they should host, maybe. But as far as, people who give out the awards and stuff, I do think you need to start building up that roster of noticeable video game personas. I have no problem, because, Neil Patrick Harris was the host of the Oscars. I don't necessarily know, if he had a major movie last year.
I don't think so.
Yeah, apparently he was in Gone Girl, but...
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, no, all right.
Which I didn't know until the Oscars when he mentioned it when Ben Affleck came out. I haven't seen Gone Girl yet.
Really? That was better than any of the Best Picture nominees.
I'm not watching it either, but...
Ellen doesn't do movies, and she was the host.
Mm.
But it's people that you kind of know for entertainment.
And they've got people who are good hosts.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. My problem is usually when...
Like they get Joel McHale doing it.
Yeah, well...
Actually, that was a little funny, but...
I think people took that the wrong way. He was just trying... He was trying to be comedic in this environment, and I think people just kind of took it as more tough than anything. But, you got people like Ken Levine. He's pretty well known. Reggie could present an award. Mm-hmm. Peter Moore.
Gears of War, dude. Whose name temporarily
escaped
me.
Cliffy B,
there we go.
Cliffy B. Yeah, there are people...
Cliffy B comes riding through the wall in a Hummer and just jumps out and then yells out the name of an award.
But he's kind of like not one of those universally loved faces at the same time.
Exactly!
Ken Levine's kind of universally loved.
But that's not... it doesn't have to be the case. I mean, look how creepy John Travolta was this year. And you can have, and again, you can introduce them with other people.
Yeah.
I think there are enough people in the industry who have a face that you can get through a year or two and then kind of build up new people. Like, you remember him last year for the studio, when he, Uncharted, Naughty Dog won Studio of the Year. Here's Neil Druckmann or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
now,
again.
I love the idea of B as the
man. I'm sorry, I just can't get that out of my head.
But, you know, and also at the same note, we have E3, and, you know, we kind of get to know those presenters most of the time. Like, imagine if Mr. Caffeine gave out an award.
I'd rather not.
Yeah.
But going backwards to the conversation we were having before, categories. I think one, we should have a lot of technical awards, and I feel technical awards are weird because I feel like we don't necessarily judge technical awards the same way other industry does in gaming. Like, it's like, oh, this game's pretty.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Because there are games that have great tech but no real art style, and then there's games that have art style but no real tech.
Yeah, it's a very unique industry and a lot of the tech behind it, actually, when you get to the nitty-gritty stuff. Because you can have, like, really advanced AI even and stuff. That's not a thing that translates to, like, the Academy or something like that.
Yes. Yeah, so.
And you can't really judge that as a consumer too well because you don't know the ins and outs so much. You can't judge it based on genre either, really.
Yeah. Because there are great-looking games that they were made by... Okay, like a great example of this is Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, which is a claymation game, which looks really nice, but it's not pushing anything fancy as far as a technical level goes.
Mm.
So, it wouldn't be win a technical award, but artistically, it's vastly different and creative, and that should be awarded. I remember a few years ago, with Kirby as well, a Game Choice gave Kirby's Epic Yarn best graphics at E3, and people flipped their heads because it was a Wii game, which means it's sub-HD, 480p, not really pushing anything, and this shouldn't have won best graphics because it's not doing anything fancy with it, but artistically, it was one of the best-looking games at the show.
Mm, definitely. But that's because it was an artistic choice, not a technical choice, and people kind of misconstrue the two.
I do think we should have both. We do that on our show, not to humble brag. But yeah, that was one of the decisions. That was one of the decisions I made early on. Is that I believe it was like Battlefield. Like Battlefield's a technical marvel, but artistically, there's nothing there.
Mm, true.
I think there should be an award for sound mixing. Which I think is another one that's really hard to judge with gaming because there's so many different things going on that most of the time you tend to only focus on the music.
Mm-hmm.
And then there
but
should
again,
be one.
That's a tougher sell, too. Like, the problem, I guess, is getting too technical with your categories. Like you said, just sound missing gets close into the... I mean, I guess you could throw it up there as like, hey, here's an award for the developers, not really for the people watching, because they're not going to know this so much.
I guess that's a fair point. Like, who's this award show for? Is it for us? Is it to celebrate the industry, or do we kind of want to find a neutral middle ground?
Yeah.
Because the VGA celebrate the consumer, and the DICE Award celebrates the industry, but one's too boring, and the other one nobody takes seriously.
Are they even streamed? Do people stream the DICE Awards?
I think the DICE Awards are streamed on Twitch or something like that.
Okay. I guess even the VGAs aren't televised anymore, are they?
No. That's another thing that's going to come down.
That might help them, though.
Well, it helps them in that I assume a lot of the stuff that the VGAs did were because of Spike TV and the audience they cater to.
Probably. They've always had that issue.
This is going to be a tough one, but we're getting to that point. Like, best writing in a game...
Mm. Or not.
Yeah, you see, there's a lot of... Because then it breaks down because... And this is something I feel a lot of game awards don't do. Not a lot of them talk about the mechanics of the game. Like, there isn't an award for, like, best controls.
Mm.
Or, like, you know, most innovative new feature or something like that. And I think part of it is because like, you can have a really innovative feature in a broken game. Do you necessarily want to award that?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of a tough one because I'm not sure if you see the sort of parallel in like either of the other industries.
Yeah, and that's why and I always find it weird because it's one of the most unique things about gaming, but it's not usually celebrated because I do think it's really hard to talk
it's
about.
It's hard to even... Yeah, I was about to say, you can't even, like, reviews can't say the controls feel really good. Like, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, because I think
the game
we've
has
gotten
a good feel to it. No, but I mean, thing either is
Yeah, I think we've gotten to the point where most video games are competently made so that they don't control all three. Like, there are still some, but for the most part, most games don't have broken controls anymore.
Mm.
So it's really hard to say, okay, this three stands out, but I do think it's something that needs to be awarded. It needs to be discussed.
Yeah. Is that, I haven't looked at the categories for the DICE Awards. I guess I should pull that up somewhere. Do they address anything like that?
I don't think so. I don't think any, like I said, I don't think any award show does the breakdown of mechanics and stuff. Like, I know DICE does, like, and this, you know, it does, like, best mobile game, best handheld game, best this and that, and it's always
Man,
so...
Man, Assassin's Creed Revelations won Game of the Year for game trailers? That's ridiculous. Sorry, I keep cutting you off, so get lost.
Okay, just kind of looking at some of the... I don't think this is... Okay, so they do break it down in... Oh, this is... They break it down. Outstanding Achievement in Animation. Outstanding Achievement in Art Direction. I have no idea what Outstanding Achievement in Connectivity means.
In, like, networking?
I guess. Okay, they have Outstanding Achievement in Gameplay Engineering, which I guess would be pure gameplay.
That would probably be programmatically speaking.
It seems like such a weird way to phrase it, though.
Yeah.
Outstanding Achievement in Online Gameplay, Outstanding Achievement in Original Music Composition, Outstanding Achievement in Sound Design, Outstanding Achievement in Story... Okay, I'm not going to say Outstanding Achievement for everything. Visual Engineering... they have an award for innovation in gaming, so I guess they do. I guess they do some of this stuff. I don't know what this one means. Outstanding Achievement in Game Direction.
No, I have a unrelated question. Is it possible for people to lose their awards? Not necessarily like in video games, but like in Oscars, or like, can you get an Oscar revoked if you're just at, like, if you went out and murdered somebody after you won an Oscar?
I don't think so.
Because I see here that they gave out an NFL Blitz Cover Athlete Award to Ray Rice, and I thought that's a pretty poor choice with hindsight. And I just wondered if people have gotten stuff revoked for committing crimes, things like that.
Probably not, but maybe.
I can't imagine that. You can get it revoked. And interestingly, going to the DICE Awards this year, they got rid of a lot of those awards. Huh. So it seems like they... Yeah, I don't know if it was concepts that they didn't find worthy, or if they just kind of was like, we'll do it for this game to be happy, and that's it. It's kind of weird that they got rid of them.
Yeah. Game Awards.
Yeah, and kind of going back to Sam's, we don't have the answer for this. I just thought it'd be interesting to kind of talk through what works and doesn't work. And I mean, this is something that I think the Game Awards did, and I actually prefer this over what the Oscars does, the Golden Globes does as well. I like a more formal dining setting than like a stadium or like a theater. It seems so more casual if you have people sitting around a table instead of having people kind of just sitting in rows and stuff like that.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Graduate.
You know, it is also a little funny that, you know, we're like trying to come up with a problem for award shows, but every games journalism website has to answer that exact same question at the end of the year every year also. Like, well, what do we do for these? I mean, like, I don't think anybody has figured out a good way to do end-of-the-year awards for anything.
Okay, that's actually a point that I have problems with. It's something that we do on this site, again, but I always hated the fact that video game awards are given out before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason that the Oscars take place in February. I mean,
yeah.
Part of it is because they have some...
I think that's a little weird, too, but, yeah.
Well, I mean, it makes sense in that it allows... I mean, part of it was the nominees are, you know, given in January, and this gives them about a month to kind of see everything and cast their votes and stuff like that. So that makes sense. It makes more sense than having a game award in November or December.
Sure.
Yeah, I remember seeing for, like, what, the Golden Joysticks or something, there was, like, a thing that was, like, most anticipated title from next year, and some of the nominees were, like, Smash Bros., Pokemon. This was for last year. Smash Bros. And Pokemon, which both came out on the same day, which was November 21st. It's like, really? Really?
Yeah, and it would make sense.
Our Hit of the Year Awards is August this year. In August,
what?
Let's have our Game of the Year Awards in August.
Our Game of the Year Awards.
Do that podcast.
Our Game of the Year Awards are, I think, like the third week of January.
Now they're in August.
But no, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's stupid when like MTV has their movie awards in like June. But at least they're consistent with it in the fact that they celebrate from June. Like, the problem with video games is, like, they celebrate the entire year, but they'll stop and give out awards in November. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, okay, so we give it out now, so games in December count for next year. It's like, no, they count for this year as well. We just don't re-nominate them because we don't get to play them.
Yeah.
And then all the ones that come out at the end of the year went over the beginning, but I guess the Oscars have that exact same problem of, like, how do you evenly weight everything that came out over the year?
Yeah, you really can't. It's an unfortunate aspect of just the fiscal year, really.
Well, to be fair to the Oscars, I mean, most of the major contenders for the Oscars tend to come out at the same time because of the Oscars have very clear and specific rules as to what can be nominated, and it's something that you have to run for at least a week before the end of the year, and you have to have a week in L.A. So there's a lot of
another
rules that
kind of rule.
Yeah, they have some really stupid. I was reading this the other day. They have like there's like 10 rules to make sure your film counts. And it's why people hate the term, but there's a reason the term Oscar bait exists. It's because it tends to be those really not artsy, but you know those really kind of intelligent films that come out in December and early January because those are the films up for contendership because, you know, there are a lot of people who do complain that, I mean, if you look at this year's nominees, I believe almost every single one of them came out between October and December of this year, past year.
That's just knowing your audience and what you want and then doing it, though.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm being
like,
cynical about it, but like, I disagree with it also, but it's kind of also them just playing the system to their advantage.
Oh, I mean, and it's the same thing with video games, though. I mean, part of it is because most video games come out in November, so it's easy to see why most of them are usually nominated from November, October. But yeah, a lot of people, again, kind of bragging. This is part of the reason why we do what I call the Game of the Year Countdown. We go through month by month all the major games that came out at the end of the year, partially so we have free content in December. But it's also kind of a way to, like, oh, I forgot this game came out this year. This is kind of cool. Like, one of my games of the year last year was Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which came out in February. By December, most people would have forgotten February.
Yep. Like me.
Yeah. And
I often forget the games come out when they do, or, like, Mass Effect 2, I remember being a big problem for that because it came out on, like, January 15th or...
I thought Mass Effect 2 came out in November. I know Mass Effect 3 came out, too.
Maybe it was 3.
3 came out in March. That could be what you're thinking of.
Yeah, because I swore, yeah.
January
26th,
Mass Effect
2
release date.
Yeah, okay, you were right. Yeah, I mean, and sometimes it happens. BioShock Infinite was a big one that came out in March. That won a couple of awards. Mm-hmm. The Last of Us was a big one in 2013, and that came out in July. So it does happen where games can come out outside of that window. But more often than not, most of the nominees are from October and November of that year.
But also, that's just a natural thing of the industry, really. The biggest blockbusters are coming out then because of the Christmas thing. It's a little different from movies, like... But there's still that component, like, I totally forgot about the Lego movie when we were doing our awards until, like, halfway through the awards show, or halfway through my nominees for the awards show, at least. When I realized, that was 2014.
Yeah, because 12 months is a long time, and I'm not even just entertainment, but in your life, a lot of things go on. You don't necessarily remember, okay, this was that. Like, yeah, I saw this a long time ago. I own it on Blu-ray, so it must have been an ancient movie by now. It's one of those things. Like, I was watching the Academy Awards, and they were like, best visual effects. And it was like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, or Rise of the Dawn of the Planet, whatever it's called. And I'm like, oh yeah, that did come out last year, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of those films that kind of has gone quiet, but it came out last year. And it's like, it didn't win, which sucked, but whatever.
But like, the closer you get to that January, December, like, turning point, like, Lego Movie was really, really early February, and I distinctly remember going to see it and what the release date was, but I couldn't remember that it was 2014 at that time. It's like this weird void they exist in.
That reminds me of the other reason why I think it would work, it would be beneficial to have the Game Awards aired on early in the year, I guess, is the fact that video games are a lot more time consuming than movies. You can watch most movies in 2 hours. I think it would be great because you hear this on a lot of, and you know, everybody's guilty of this, but you hear this on a lot of like video game websites and podcasts. Oh, we didn't have time to pay everything this year.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, then you're not necessarily given the best awards of the year. You're just kind of given, like, this is what we enjoyed this year awards. And if you kind of had a system in place where it's like, okay, we'll nominate stuff in January and everybody gets the month of February to play through them and catch up. Like, that's a bit better system to make. Okay, we have to get this all in before January 1st because we need content over Christmas break when we're all on vacation.
Yeah, but then you also have the issue of the games that do come out in that time span are not going to get reviewed in a timely manner.
Well, I mean,
it's like a weird dichotomy, I guess, but it's like there's no winning it entirely. Someone's got to work extra hard at some point, I guess.
Well, I think. Go on.
Sorry, I'm just thinking, like, you said the Oscars, they have, like, their 10 rules of what qualifies. Like, could the Games Awards not have some sort of, like, 5 rules that qualify it so that I can kind of filter it down a bit as well?
Oh, yeah, I would have rules, and I think some of them would piss people off, but in this current environment, my biggest rule would be it would have to be a first release. It can't be a port, it can't be an HD remastered, It can't be a, you know, it can't be like, oh, it's the Game of the Year edition or the Definitive Edition. All that stuff should automatically be disqualified. I mean, granted, it's probably because none of them are that great, but you don't see remakes winning Oscars.
Well, I think that's a tricky piece, though, because some games, like, I know some games will just do, like, Game of the Year edition, pack all the DLC in it, but then some games will do, like, Nintendo with Majora's Mask or Ocarina of Time 3D with, like, actual new content in it, or, like,
but
really, like, if it's actual new content, I think it's a little bit trickier. Like, I know Persona 4 Golden had an entirely new final boss sequence and added storyline. It's like,
see,
that's
the
hard.
The only ones I would really, really, really consider would be Resident Evil Remake, because that was like an entire, you know, they cleaned it up, they modernized the graphics, they changed the control schemes, they added, like, that was basically making a brand new game.
Pretty much.
I would count that one. I would count Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes, that's another one that modernized the gameplay. But like Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time 3D is still the core game. They improve some stuff, but it's still fundamentally the same game. Like, it's not even like a brand new graphics engine or something like that.
No, definitely. I agree with what you mean. I'm just saying that certain games, like, I know Majora's Mask has changed up a little bit of things. Like, they've modernized it for sure, but they've also added some new things. I guess a better example really would be Persona 4 Golden, where you have a totally new character, new plot lines. You do streamline certain things, and you do rebalance it. Sure, that's, you know, typical stuff. But then you have an entirely new, like, 2 months added to the game, which is, like, a good chunk of gameplay, honestly. And it's, like, a new final boss sequence, storyline changes, all that stuff. Like, that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
I can see.
Yeah, but I still want to celebrate... I still want to celebrate only new games, and I know that's going to be a rule that pisses off a lot of people. But yeah, like, people
if
are
it's
like,
separate own
go
award
on.
Like, if it's only separated into its own award, like there's a separate single award for remake or you know, something innovative done to an old game, you know, or like you said, ports.
This is just my thoughts, and I'm still iffy on it just because I feel like it's weird to celebrate something oath again. It's like, oh, the other rings of your race that came out. It's given an award this year. I guess it's pretty, it's cleaned up, you know, it's extended edition. They added more footage and stuff like that. But you wouldn't re-celebrate the film. Like, it would be amazing for fans, but there's no reason for it to get more Oscars or something like that.
Yeah. No, I see what you mean for sure. I'm just kind of playing advocate. Like, there's some that are more deserving of it.
Oh, yeah, and I think that it might be a case-by-case basis, but I would say that 95% of remakes, remasters, re-releases probably wouldn't count because they tend to be more of the same than anything really modernizing it. Yeah. And that's a discussion for another day on how video games use the term remake compared to like movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I had another rule, but video games are really difficult as well. I was going to say like, it has to be something that anybody can play, but there are very few games in this day and age that are on everything. So that would be a really, you know, that would just kind of narrow down to like Assassin's Creed.
yeah.
But maybe to kind of, it has to be a game that is available in all major markets. I think that should be fair. Or do we just count America?
Because
there are games.
It makes sense.
No, go on.
it makes sense. Like, even when it comes down to like major awards, it's usually basing it off America. What's the point in it? Europe itself would do better with its, like, if it was going to do that kind of thing for its own awards, but that would still be very, what's the word? Bit of a niche market. Because American media permeates pretty much all over.
Yeah. So, and to be fair, we kind of pat ourselves on the back. It's the same way that almost I think every Oscar nominee was an American made film. Funded by Hollywood. It's our way to celebrate us. But I think that video games are so different because we have such a diverse and global... I mean, two of the biggest platform holders are Japanese companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sony not acting it often, but they are Japanese companies. So maybe not everything, because I understand like the different markets, but maybe it should be out in Europe and North America within that calendar year. It doesn't necessarily have to come out the same time, but it shouldn't have to be like one comes out in 2012 and then the other one comes out in 2015.
I'm just thinking you have most of the consoles, like some of the consoles now are completely region free and they're already like it's the same consoles around the world pretty much. Like there's no like I don't know, Swedish version of a Wii called something else. But like so, I mean, virtually all the same games are out.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I guess.
Those dang Japanese exclusives. I mean,
I
can't see regions making it much of a difference anyway.
I guess that's fair. I was just kind of thinking that it should be something that is available to most people who are going to watch or know about this award show. Another rule I'm kind of curious about, what do you folks think of first releases? Like, should a game be counted in its form that it's released in, or do you include like DLC and all that other stuff that comes after launch?
I don't like sending a bad message to developers, so I'm saying it should be just as is with before DLC.
Yeah.
This whole, like... DLC sold with the game as if it's like finished, like as if the game's finished and here's a little bit extra. It's silly to me.
I just realized that my mic has been muted for the last like 20 minutes. I was wondering why nobody was acknowledging me. But I haven't played a DLC in the past couple of years that has been good enough to actually like sway my opinion of a game. So I don't think that DLC actually affects how I'd feel about a video game.
But some people it does.
Well, when's the last time a DLC has made the base game, like, significantly better?
Well, I'm not saying that that necessarily has to happen. I'm just saying some people disagree with that.
I would say Mario Kart 8 is a good example of DLC that has made the base game better.
But that game is already good.
Oh yeah,
it's not competing to awards to competing for awards because of DLC. It was
oh yeah, okay, but you're just okay, and which is a fair point, which is why I'm asking, because there are games that you know, like there's a ton, the game that gets tons of story missions, or I think a good example would be Titanfall, which is a game that may not have been Game of the Year contender for a lot of people, but when it came out at launch, a lot of people complained about the lack of modes and the lack of this and that, and over the course of the year that followed, they added a ton of new modes, they added a ton of new unlockables, and stuff like that. So it made the game more robust in that sense. So, I mean,
really fun week.
But would it? But would that count in the grand scheme, or is it like this is what you sent out to market? It's like a DVD. Like, yeah, you can get alternate editions, you can get bonus features, but that shouldn't count for awards because this is the movie you sold to people at first.
Yeah,
I agree. I can give you that. And get on board with only the basic counting.
I don't know. I feel like it's like saying, "Oh yeah, it's fine. Just release the game, and we'll judge it on what comes later in that year." I mean,
yeah, if you want to get really,
No, keep going.
I say, if you want to get really specific, how do you count updates and stuff like that? Like patches, like Battlefield 4 wouldn't have won any awards.
And it didn't win many awards, but yeah, I think that's another fair point. And I mean, I also think first impressions are everything. I think that we probably wouldn't give a ton of games a second chance if, you know, I don't think a lot of people would consider them for an award if they kind of came out the gate broken and stuff like that. But, you know, at the same time, if your game comes out in early in the year, and by the end of the year you have like 3 or 4 DLCs that make it a more meaty package and stuff like that, I can kind of see the case for including it, but I think it would be a judgment call, and I honestly don't think. Well, I guess the other thing would be like if you had what do you call people who vote on stuff?
Nerds.
No.
Oh, I don't know. That's me. Like, don't worry about it.
But yeah, if you had a console, would they have, like we said before, games are a very, very time-intensive hobby. Like, was it fair to say, okay, you have to play this 10-hour game, and then you have to play these 5 2-hour DLCs as well?
I mean, at that point, are you judging it on the DLC or the game? Like,
yeah, it's true. That's a good point, I think. Is the DLC even worth considering, really? What Sam had initially said, like, maybe it doesn't add anything to the base game to make it better, but is it even worth considering then at all, if that's the case? It could be good DLC still, despite that, but...
Especially not if the game's not good enough for me to buy it. It doesn't really matter how good the DLC is, to another extent, so... I don't know. DLC is interesting, maybe, again, I like the way that award shows lump it to its own category. I kind of think that's where it deserves to be.
I was going to ask, should DLC get its own category?
Let me clarify. Some years DLC should get its own category. I think last year a lot of those best DLC categories were sort of grasping at straws to get a nomination. It's like it's technically the best, but maybe don't necessarily run out and go buy this right now. And I think that an award should be, no, if you are into this sort of thing, you should run out and buy this and play this right now.
Mm. We have our own outstanding category, which comes up every so often.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. And, I mean, kind of on the same note, at awards shows that do this, I mean, well, video game awards, would you separate out the console PC market, the handheld market, and the mobile market, or would you kind of... Because, I mean, we have this debate in-house as well. It's always like, a handheld game shouldn't win Game of the Year, because a handheld game will never be the best showcase of graphics and sound and all this other stuff.
Handheld or mobile?
Well, handheld. We don't really count mobile. But yeah, this is a discussion we've had. I personally, my rule of thumb is I think any game is possible to win the Game of the Year.
I agree.
But it's something that we go through, because I do think that handhelds are seen differently than console games because of just your expectations, just because of the budget and what you can do on like a 3DS and a Vita compared to like an Xbox One and a PS4.
So yeah, I think that handheld games should be allowed to win, but I am very hard pressed to find a time where a handheld game was my favorite game of the year.
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't think it's an actual restriction so much as it's probably not going to win because console games are...
I mean, that depends on what you're gauging it by, though. Certain people have different tastes. I don't play very many console or PC games. I play primarily handheld games because it fits my lifestyle. That doesn't mean to say that I don't play some console games and I don't appreciate them. I don't think some are better or worse. I'm just saying that I tend to play more, and so if a game like that gets me more enjoyment or tends to be better than something that I have to sit down and actually dedicate time to on a console, then I would consider that overall better than the console game. So, I mean, everyone has different tastes, obviously, with everything.
It's hard to gauge that way,
but I'm just saying.
And to kind of go back a bit, I think 2013, there was a couple of websites who gave, I think, Between Worlds, their Game of the Year, nod. But I also think that the Zelda franchise comes with such a pedigree that people kind of overlook the device it's on because it's Zelda.
Yeah, that might be fair also. I was just thinking, like, you say that a handheld game can't do the same thing that a console game does, but yet we have two different Smash Bros. Games, one on handheld and one not. And visually the handheld one's inferior, but it also comes with a lot of advantages that the console one doesn't. And it is essentially still the same game, core.
And yet the console one was the one that was nominated for any Game of the Year award and not necessarily
right.
The PS version.
But I also don't think that visuals should be the deciding factor in this. And I think people will tend to see that if they discourage handhelds from becoming Game of the Year. Because you could have a game that's been on handheld and PC or something like that be nominated for the award only for the console game. But you could also have a game that only came out on handheld that would only work on handheld be nominated, I think.
I think visuals are becoming a lot less important in general to the medium, but I think that's also a conversation for a different podcast.
Yeah, that's very true.
And I kind of agree. I think we've seen that with the backlash for the Order. But like you said, that's a conversation for another day. Is there anything else folks want to... Oh.
No, I was going to say with the handheld as well, they do have to... Like, they have the potential to be very innovative because sometimes they have to jump through hoops. And, like, between the DS and the PS Vita, both using touchscreens, they have the potential to actually create very interesting games from how they have to be held, you know? So I think that there's definitely a chance that they could win a best game. It's just that they're not as popular as a console.
Or you might find a case where something like an indie game is released for multiple consoles, like you have Hotline Miami, which has been released for tons of different consoles, or like Luftrausers or something like that, where it's so low-end graphically that it does work on so many different consoles.
Did we give an award to Luftrausers?
I'm just saying that situation may happen where visuals aren't even a thing to consider because you don't downgrade them at all.
And to kind of play devil's advocate, just because you necessarily have a dedicated console and handheld category doesn't mean that a handheld game couldn't win Game of the Year, too. I mean, it's the same way that the Oscars have Best Film and Best Animated Film. I don't think an animated film has ever won, but animated films have been nominated before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's within the realm of possibility that you can still have it separately. I was just, you know, out of character. I wouldn't divide out mobile and handheld, though. I think that's just being picky at that point.
I agree with differentiating the two, actually. But
I do, but especially with, like, the touchscreen and gyros, a lot of the handheld games could... Like, a lot of mobile games can be done on handheld, and some of the handheld games can be done on mobile. Maybe not. They probably won't look as nice, but it's the same thing we kind of said with consoles and handhelds. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean that a mobile game can't be the best handheld game of the year.
True.
So, I think that's that for this week. Unless you folks have anything else you want to say about this very Frankenstein-esque video game award show that we didn't put together. We just kind of talked through what would work. Hey, if we had the answers, we'd have $1 million because we'd be running this show.
Yeah.
I don't think we would. I don't think there is a way to do an award show that's watched by enough people to make it profitable that people want to watch.
I disagree.
I would love to see it. I just don't think it's financially viable.
But at the same time, we're living in an age where you can do an award show via YouTube or Twitch or any of those channels and kind of build up an audience to the point where you can get televised. I don't think you want to necessarily jump into the deep end by televising it first and then not having any audience. So, it is what it is. Hopefully we'll be back next week. I don't know if Dan's going to be alive in a week or so.
I won't be around next week, but or the next, probably. But
yeah. But I want to thank Chris for joining us. You can find us on all these wonderful websites like iTunes and Stitcher and Blueberry and Zune Marketplace. I forget what Microsoft calls it now. And, of course, you can find us at nerdsontherocks.com where we have a ton of great articles and podcasts.
Nerdsontherocks.
We're on Hi5. We're on Pinterest. We're on Twitter. We're on Google+. We're on Facebook. We're on the webs. We're on
a
series
of... Do they still have a Friendster? Can we make a Friendster account?
I think they do still have a Friendster.
Can we make a Napster account and a MySpace one, too?
Let's get a Napster.
Wait, Diaspora. Let's make a Diaspora.
Let's let people illegally download the podcast.
But, yes, we will be back next week. So, for Dan, Sam, Chris, and myself, we'll find somebody with two syllables next week. This has been Nerds on the Rocks.
Of green.